all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday morning, August 7th, 2024. Another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, you could be watching us on social media, Facebook or YouTube. You might be listening later on demand by podcast. However you did it, we appreciate you being part of your Wednesday. I got a question for you. Are you heading to the Eau Claire Harris Walls rally? And did you watch the rally in Philadelphia yesterday as the new Democratic ticket was formally introduced to supporters? Selena Heller, our Up North News reporter, talked to the Eau Claire Chief of Police up at the new Eau Claire, what do they call it there, the entertainment district, the event district, basically the new home of Country Jam, where there's all kinds of activity going on this morning. Todd Alba will be reporting from there in a little while. We'll hear from the Eau Claire Police Chief, and we'll play some of the highlights from yesterday's rally in Philly from Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, the new running mate to Vice President Kamala Harris. We'll hear from Harris. We'll hear from Pennsylvania Mayor Josh Shapiro. And we'll also talk about some of our usual Wednesday segments. I mean, Wednesday is climate check day, so Melissa Baldoff will be here. And was it a week or two ago, we reviewed the Kamala Harris record on climate matters. This week, we'll do Tim Walz, who basically, as the old joke goes, could say, hold my beer, because it's a really good record. So we'll talk more about that. Sachin Chetta joins us in our second hour to talk about back to school, and not the back to school checklist of school supplies and not the back to school, you know, supply list for teachers. And this is more the back to school list of threats to public education. You know, everything from the proposed book bans to budget cuts to, you know, the way vouchers are draining millions and millions of dollars away from our kids' public education. So we'll review that in this week's homeroom segment. We'll have some of the Republican reaction to the Tim Walz news. And seriously, it's just weird. There's just no other way to put it. And we'll have some of the best truly Midwestern reactions to Governor Tim Walz's ascension to the running mate spot as well. Along the way, you can call or text us at any point, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVICS, 855-752-4842. You can call or text that number. You can also use the Civic Media app, or you can put a comment on one of our Facebook pages or on YouTube as well. Greg Bach is in Waukesha, which is a good thing, because if he weren't, you couldn't hear me, because he's the one that actually gets this thing out over the airwaves. Mr. Bach, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Pat. How are you doing today?
Frenetic. It's just been, remember yesterday I talked about feeling like a pinball machine?
Yeah.
You know, we were just like bouncing back and forth, looking at the wires, looking at the Twitter, looking at the email, looking at the text messages, looking at the TV. And then it was Greg Bach who broke the news yesterday about Tim Walz being named the running mate to the Kamala Harris ticket. Yes, folks, I didn't have to do it. I could have just put my feet up. I worked way too hard and could have just said, Greg, darling, let me know when you know of something. So I'm glad your inside sources were all over that.
A big shout out to Luke Mathers for handing me the phone. Like, I think it was 3 minutes before we were done with the show yesterday.
Basically,
But the thing is, he handed me the phone, and the way Twitter works now is that it didn't show me the tweet right up in the middle. The tweet was up top on the screen, and the picture I saw was a picture of Kamala Harris and Josh Shapiro. I'm like, you're saying Walz, I'm seeing Shapiro. What's going on here? And he goes, he points, I'm like, oh, there we go. And I'm like, it's Tim Walz.
Well, we did it, though. We got the news out there and then spent the day reacting to it, and we'll have more of that throughout the course of the day. But I will say again, I mean, there was already this extra burst of energy or enthusiasm or positivity, you know, with Kamala Harris taking over the top spot on the ticket. adding Tim Walz as the running mate, I mean, just put that in another gear. And the word that gets used a lot, I mean, people used hope a lot during, you know, Barack Obama's first campaign. Joy. There was a lot of joy out there yesterday. Both Harris and Walz talked about that. Governing with a sense of joy, campaigning with a sense of joy, mm-hmm. because, folks, I know that this may sound a little too Boy Scouty to some of you, but government and politics is actually supposed to be about public service. It's actually supposed to be about solving problems and helping your neighbor and making sure kids can learn and making sure kids can eat and making sure that, you know, the roads are smooth and making sure that our air and our water are clean. And some people actually want to do that. And other people just want to be weird. So weird and so negative and so greedy or so gullible. And it's just such a nice change of pace to see a little joy put back into our politics. It's been way too long.
I don't disagree with you. I felt like when Joe Biden stepped down, there was an initial sense of like, oh God, what's going to happen? And then within 24 hours, I was walking around like, all right, I'm feeling really, really good. And then, you know, that initial pop, you know, it normalizes. We're like, all right, Kamala is the person. Mm-hmm. This is going to be great. And then when Tim Walz was announced yesterday, I was like, America's dad is going to be the vice president.
Yes. And he has been. I mean, just, and by the way, not just in the all nice, aw shucks way. I mean, he got a couple of zingers in.
Oh, yeah.
That, again, you would expect either your dad or your uncle. You know, we're always talking about the drunk uncle or the crazy, you know, nutball uncle. We forget that sometimes there's like the fun uncle who says the things that all the other adults go, Jim. And Jim goes, what? They're going to hear it on the school bus anyway. You know, and I like that. That very much.
As soon as the weird uncle walks away, the cool uncle goes, Steve's weird. I know. Don't listen to him. It's fine. Here, just go. Here's a soda. Just have fun.
That's exactly what it is.
No one's trying to put fluoride into your water.
No. And we'll have a couple of clips from Tim Walz coming up in just a bit here. But let me start first by going back to the scene of today's rally in Eau Claire. And as I mentioned, our Up North News reporter, Selena Heller, stopped by the grounds as everything was getting set up. Bleachers were being put up. A lot of bleachers. They're expecting a pretty good turnout here. So folks in the Eau Claire area hearing us on 93.5 The Tap, you're going to want to get there, you know, pretty early. I'm not saying it's going to be, since it's Country Jam, I'm not saying like Garth Brooks is going to be showing up, but you know, it's also not going to be Pat Kreitlow on a guitar. So
you heard it here, folks. Garth Brooks will be in Eau Claire. Yeah,
no. That's not what he said at all. And so here's Eau Claire Police Chief Matt Rokas talking to Selena a little bit about the security matters that are there, what their job is versus the Secret Service, you know, the kind of the division of labor to make sure that everything goes smoothly.
With recent events, there are heightened concerns about tomorrow's events. We're working very hard with our partners, whether it be the Secret Service or other law enforcement agencies. There's a very good plan in place, and we're going to do our very best to make sure it's a safe event. The U.S. Secret Service is the lead agency for events like this. Their primary responsibility is protection of the dignitary who's visiting us. With both events being in the city of Eau Claire, our department has a large role in ensuring the safety of the visitor, also the attendees that'll be coming out to see them speak as well. You know, our role and responsibility has to do with getting them to the site, whether it be coming into the airport, motorcade, to the site security for the site itself, and then getting them, you know, helping them on to their next stop, you know, outside of Eau Claire.
And they will. They'll be heading right to Michigan after this, if I'm not mistaken. They're actually doing two rallies today as part of a barnstorming of all of the swing states. And again, with the site being just off Highway 29 north of Eau Claire, I would expect a pretty healthy contingent of Minnesota folks coming over because they know there probably won't be much for rallies in Minnesota now that Walz is on the ticket. It's a pretty safe state. And so if you want to see a big campaign event with Kamala Harris, you're going to be coming out to this event in Eau Claire or something in the future. So expect a healthy turnout there. What they say, the arena in Philadelphia holds 10,000 people. And they figured there were 14,000 people there yesterday between the arena, standing room, and the overflow. Contrast that with a Donald Trump rally in that same building in June, you know, with a truckload of empty seats. And I don't know that this will necessarily last. Again, you've got a bright, shiny new ticket that's out there. People want to see them. People want to hear them. But there's most definitely a different atmosphere out there. And, you know, I, for one, welcome it. We've got 90 days now until the election, and they can't come fast enough. Yeah. So let's just enjoy that part of it while it lasts. So, again, more from the Philly rally and more about Republican reaction and Midwestern reaction coming up in just a bit. There's also a story on the wires about in Arizona, the first person to be convicted of signing a document as a fake elector, claiming that Donald Trump had won the 2020 election when he did not. So we'll have some details on that as well. But at 6:17, let's go take a look at sports. And the Brewers had a rough time against Atlanta last week. Not so much last night. Willy Adames hit a two-run homer. And then he hit another two-run homer as the Brewers routed the Atlanta Braves 10-0. Adames went 4-for-5 with four RBIs. He's got 75 already on the season. William Contreras was 3-for-4 with four RBIs. And the Brewers altogether scored their 10 runs on 16 hits. Colin Ray dominated the Braves for 7 innings. He struck out a season-high 9 while allowing just 5 hits and 1 walk. Colin Ray has not given up a run in his last 3 road starts. The Brewers have now improved under Ray's 19 starts. His record is 10-3. The Brewers' record in Ray's 19 starts is 14-5. The guy is very clearly proving himself. Game 2 of the 3-game series is this evening. 6:20 first pitch, Freddie Peralta on the mound for the Brewers. Pre-game at 5:45 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Park Falls. And then tomorrow, the series in Atlanta wraps up. First pitch tomorrow is 11:20 in the morning, our time, before the Brewers come home for a long homestand starting this coming weekend with Cincinnati. More about the new Harris Walls ticket coming up. But first, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. The only song I could think of with weird and weird in the title was Weird Science by Oingo Boingo. We're going full-blown 80s today on this one.
It's a good choice, a good song.
Well, and it's because the reactions from Republicans have just been on a whole different level of weird. I mean, one of the first tweets by the account MAGA War Room says, Tim Walz is a weird radical liberal. What could be weirder than signing a bill requiring schools to stock tampons in the boys' bathrooms, or weirder than signing legislation allowing minors to receive sex change operations? Neither of which is exactly true. But the larger point is, this is what you're choosing to focus on first. The hashtag that they got trending was hashtag tampon Tim.
Ugh.
Which, I'm sorry, that's what you're going for first? That's weird.
Also, you could have just gone with Timpon.
See, now that's why they needed you. Yeah. They should have had you for this, but no.
We talked about that yesterday. The first email that the Trumps, they said, it said Tim Walz hates you. Like, that's their mood. That's what they're going to go with.
Where are you going to get that from anybody? Tim Walz hates nobody. Made that clear in his remarks that he wants to get back to a point where we do disagree with each other. We all disagree with each other from time to time.
Yeah.
And try to do so without going, oh, yeah, I hate you. You're the worst.
Yeah.
So they're trying to put the weird label on him, which, again, if you can't come up with your own nickname for somebody, that's weird. As well. I'm sorry. Yeah, right. It just is. Well, wait, you know who else recognized that? not just Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, who spoke at the rally, of course, in Philly and could not have been more gracious. But he was also completely on point. And when the crowd started chanting something and he wasn't quite clear, then he figured out what it was. Here's what he had to say. There's just no, you know, so again, give Walz credit. I couldn't make it out at first either.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud when Shapiro's like, "Are you chanting he's a weirdo?" I'm just like, "Yep, that's Philly for you."
That's God the huge him. Difference too between J.D. Vance and like whether it's Josh Shapiro or Tim Walz, that, you know, that clip of Tim of J.D. Vance trying to talk to the audience and like stumbling. And yeah. They start laughing, go, "I love you guys." And they're like, "Okay, just keep talking." Whereas Josh is like, "I love you guys." They're like, "We love you too."
We love you too. Exactly. Kamala Harris knew of Tim Walz. You know, they didn't work a lot closely together, but they knew each other, have a lot of respect for each other. And Kamala Harris gave her usual stump speech, but then started talking about, before introducing the Minnesota governor, the qualities that she saw in him. And I picked this one out in particular because of his record, not just as a father and a soldier and a teacher, but of a coach of a hapless football team and the difference that one good person can make.
He had a knack for using the game of football to teach life lessons. He saw the potential in kids who sometimes didn't even see it in themselves. Under those Friday night lights, Coach Walz motivated his players to believe they could achieve anything. And together, they defied the odds. Hear this out. Going from a winless record to the school's first ever state championship.
I should note that was a 3-year turnaround. They went 0-27 in 1996, and by 1999, 3 years later, they were state champions. So Walz is clearly a motivator in a positive sense, but he definitely knows, you know, how to pick at not just the larger arguments of the campaign and the larger themes, but, you know, some of the other stuff that shouldn't go without saying, as Walz notes, pointing out the record of Donald Trump.
He froze in the face of the COVID crisis. He drove our economy into the ground. And make no mistake, violent crime was up under Donald Trump. That's not even counting the crimes he committed.
So he got a roar out of the crowd on that one. He got an even larger roar when he made a comment about J.D. Vance and how he can't wait to debate him if he'll get off the couch. And the crowd was just all over that, which of course led to, again, MAGA Twitter losing their minds about, you know, "Oh, how dare he? How dare he?" It's like, wait a minute. Do you guys listen to half of what you say out there? And so, yeah, he told a couch joke. But then he went on to mention that when it comes to the things that, so much of the right-wing movement want to do are about restricting your freedoms. You know, your freedom to, you know, have your kids read books the freedom to be free of gun violence, the freedom to love whom you choose, the freedom, the liberty of having bodily autonomy. Tim Walz kind of summed all of it up in this way.
Some of us are old enough to remember when it was Republicans who were talking about freedom. It turns out now what they meant was the government should be free to invade your doctor's office. In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and their personal choices that they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choice for ourselves, there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
Boom. That's it. That's it. There's nothing wrong with having your own value system, with having your own, you know, religious ideology. It's about the imposition on others of things that are not, frankly, in the mainstream of society, that Tim Walz and others are just finally, A, calling weird, and saying, B, mind your own business. That's all people really want is, again, government should be in the job of serving the people, not restricting the people based on somebody's religious ideology. This is not difficult. When we come back, we're going to talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check. Wondered if this was going to be a carbon copy of a week or two ago when we talked about the Kamala Harris climate record. Tim Walz doesn't just have a record of things he'd like to do, but things that got done in the Minnesota legislature on climate issues. And so Melissa's going to have that for us. Todd Alba later from the site of today's Eau Claire rally for the Harris-Walz ticket. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
From my hands, why don't people understand my intentions?
It's electric. Melissa, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, good. Of course, we've had a lot of fun with Governor Walz already getting a you know, named as Kamala Harris's running mate. And we're gonna talk. Last week, it was all about Kamala Harris and her climate record. Tim Walz is quite literally saying, hold my beer, and has quite the enviable record himself. But let's go back a step. I just want to know your overall reaction. I mean, we've known for a week or two that he was being considered, but what are your thoughts now that he's the running mate?
Oh, I think what a great choice. You know, not only is Governor Walz somebody who is just a, you know, fantastic communicator, who is really relatable, and, you know, somebody that people, you know, can fit in anywhere he goes, right? You know, you can see him fitting in a Legion Hall, in a bar somewhere up north, you know, getting coffee after church, yeah, in a boardroom, anywhere, right? He's someone who just seems like he could fit in anywhere, can chat with anybody. And at the same time, he's somebody who's getting a whole heck of a lot of good stuff done in Minnesota, you know, with just a one seat majority in the legislature. He's been able to get an incredible amount of, you know, common sense policy passed. You know what, you know, Republicans now want to, you know, label this, you know, extreme progressive agenda. And, you know, if feeding kids is extreme progressivism, that's
saving the planet and everything else.
Right.
That was a good reminder that the Minnesota legislature, Democrats had a one seat majority at times. And in President Biden's first 2 years in office, Democrats had just a 4-seat majority, something like that. And look at all that they got done. Look how much you can get done when you stop, you know, kind of the backbiting and the sniping behind the scenes, said the guy who served in the legislature when there was just a little too much of that going around. Isn't it amazing what you can do when you all decide to work together?
Right. I think it's really impressive. It's really incredible what they've been able to accomplish in Minnesota. I mean, obviously I'd be remiss if I didn't point out, you know, one of the things they haven't been able to accomplish, which is winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, of course. I mean,
you know, but
has to be said,
but we wish them well in their, policy endeavors.
Yes,
and of course, hope that we could get those nice policies passed here.
Oh, what a contrast between what has passed in Minnesota and what has been going on here, you know, starting with the 2010 election of Scott Walker, and the state is still playing catch up. But, you know, as we've heard before, we're just going to keep chipping away at it. But let's look at that Minnesota record, because on climate issues, the feeling I get from, you know, doing a little reading on this is that Tim Walz has the perfect 1-2 punch here. First off, he's got a very good record on climate issues, but just as important, or more importantly, you could argue, he can communicate those things and not fall prey to, you know, some of the right-wing talking points and everything else. It's one thing to know what you want to do, but you got to be able to help other people go, oh yeah, that makes sense. And that's the kind of communicator Tim Walz is.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think people, that's really kind of the, you know, one of the introductions that so many people have gotten to Tim Walz recently is, you know, you've seen kind of this branding of Donald Trump and JD Vance as weird. And I mean, for one, it's true. We saw this messaging come from Tim Walz. It's true. These are weird guys and they're talking about weird things. And it's one of the reasons I think it's so effective is, you know, it's not saying that all the people who support them or vote for them or who have voted in for them in the past are weird. A lot of these folks are just people who are looking for someone to help them out and, you know, talk to them and explain to them what's going on and how they're going to be there for them. But, you know, and I think Tim Walz has really tapped into that, and, you know, he's effective, you know, with that kind of messaging on so many issues. And really, you know, one of those issues is climate change. He, you know, with his, you know, upbringing in, you know, rural America and his, you know, record as a veteran, as an educator, he has learned how to talk to folks all over the country about all kinds of different issues. And he has really, you know, found a way to be incredibly skillful at talking about climate change in a way that people can relate to, and that it's it resonates for them.
Well, and I think part of the reason for that is Walz is definitely one of those who does one of the things that we do on this segment, and that is that you not only talk about the problem and you not only talk about the threats, but you talk about not just even the solutions, but the economic benefit of the solutions and the economic threats. And look, for some people, they don't want that to be a dollars and cents thing that, you know, it's like, look, we literally have to save the planet. And I get that. But if you're going to get solutions in place to, you know, prevent further catastrophic damage, for some people, you have to frame it in economic terms. That's exactly what he did. And he rolled out a climate action framework, which was a 69-page climate plan with 6 overarching goals. It basically sounds like the antidote to Project 2025. Instead of 900 pages of terrible right-wing ideas, you know, here are 69 pages of ideas that are good not just for the land, the air, and the water, but for the economy and for people's lives. It sounds so simple, but, you know, Walz actually got it done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've gotten quite a bit done over in Minnesota. In their 2023 legislative session, they passed 40 climate initiatives.
40.
What, 40. That's incredible to have made that much progress towards those big goals that they've set through, you know, through their climate action plan. You know, to set those big goals of, you know, reaching net zero emissions, you know, by 2050, to 100% clean energy by 2040, to increase the share of electric vehicles on their roads to 20% by 2030. You know, they are really taking action. They are taking steps, making progress towards achieving those goals, because those are big, ambitious goals, and they're not things that you get to overnight, but they're taking the steps, and they are doing things in cooperation with folks in agriculture, with folks in labor, you know, with folks who work in environmental organizations. They're really doing it in a way that is, you know, in community. And that's why they're making progress.
Yeah. I mean, in a host of areas, he has increased funding for public transit, increased electric vehicle infrastructure projects, allocated $2 billion to projects that are similar to the Inflation Reduction Act, but from a state standpoint, for natural resources, for climate, for energy. There are incentives for schools to install solar power, rebates for heat pumps and electric stoves, rebates for the purchase of electric school buses and EVs. And did you notice nowhere in there did we get mired down in debates over science or, you know, if you want to call it hand-wringing about the threat? It's just, here's some ideas. They make everything cleaner. They create jobs. We make them affordable. How about we get this done? And, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it is just what happens when, instead of divided government, or instead of government, you know, in the hands of, say, the far right, you actually put government in the hands of people that want to provide a service or solve problems. So the impression I get from it anyway.
Absolutely. You know, this is, you know, I think he really understands, you know, that he didn't, you know, cause these problems. Democrats didn't cause these problems. Republicans didn't cause these problems, right? These are problems that have been caused over years and years and years, but somebody's got to step up and fix them. And somebody's got to talk to people about how we're going to fix them and, you know, offer some solutions that make sense to people. And the solutions that most often are making sense to people are the ones that are a good job that's putting food on their table and, you know, a paycheck going into the bank account, right? So I think he understands that and has focused on really, you know, those personal connections. It's, you know, it's not only, you know, people, and not to suggest that people don't care about, you know, the big picture, you know, this is good for society, this is good for everyone, this is good for the environment, because I do believe that people care, but people are also concerned about their families and their personal situations. And I think we have to acknowledge that. And recognize that that real concern that people have over their personal finances, their personal family situation, and let them, you know, really get to be part of the solution by bringing those good jobs to them as part of the solution on climate.
There's a lot of talk about balance in any presidential ticket, and in this case, here's how you get it on climate. By having somebody who was a U.S. senator, somebody in Congress in the ticket, and then a state governor as well. You know, Tim Walz is not necessarily going to go to the U.S. Capitol and, you know, try to lobby Congress on something. That's something that a President Harris would work on, whereas Governor Walz becomes Vice President Walz and now can talk to governors of both parties across the country and say, look, here's what we've done in Minnesota. Here's our numbers. You can get this done in your state. Dare I hope, Melissa, that he could be a force for some positive climate legislation in Wisconsin finally?
Absolutely. I think we should dare to hope that. I think that's, you know, what we're seeing in this ticket is two people who have really, you know, dedicated their lives and their careers to public service, and who, you know, who deeply understand how good government works and why it's important. And, you know, that's not to say that, you know, someone who isn't as experienced couldn't be effective, because, you know, there are cases where they can, but, you know, really when it comes down to it, to me, experience matters, and trust people being able to trust somebody and being able to, you know, recognize that, you know, they're going to do what they say, that really matters. And what we, you know, what we see in Vice President Harris, what we see in Governor Walz, are people who have a demonstrated record of serving the public, serving their communities in elected office, and running on saying that they're going to do something and then getting it done. It is a, you know, promises made, promises kept from both of them. And that, I think, is incredibly important.
And so finally, the energy, pun intended, talking about climate, that Walz brings to the ticket, and of course the change with Vice President Harris at the top of the ticket. I mean, you talk to people who are active on climate and natural resources issues. Obviously, they were planning to work hard anyway on behalf of President Biden. Do you feel like they've got like a maybe an extra spring in their step now when they see the two people at the top of this ticket?
I do see people excited. And I have to say, too, I really I see young people incredibly excited about this ticket. And really, you know, to borrow a phrase from my former boss, they are jazzed as hell about this. I have a 19-year-old daughter, and she and her friends are so excited to vote in this election. They're thrilled about Kamala Harris, and they had been talking for the past couple of weeks about Tim Walz. They have seen him all over TikTok and Instagram, and really, really, really like him.
This was fun. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, you too.
Today's history lesson is up next. You're up north. To the microphone now, the Kiki D to Greg Bach's Elton John. Here's Melissa Kay. Well, I mean, not singing, but joining us for today's history lesson, Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, how are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. It's going to be one of those crazy days.
It is.
I like how you rightly point. Every so often, Greg's camera goes kaplooey and goes completely out of focus. And his hand's in focus. Yeah, but it won't. Greg looks like he's got Vaseline all over the lens, like Carrie Lake in Arizona.
Oh, there we go.
Extreme close up.
But hi, Greg.
But now he's in
focus.
I've never
seen your eyes so clearly before.
Hi.
Neither is he.
That's awesome. Folks, if you're not watching us live on Facebook, you should.
Yeah. Anyway.
Even my camera was like, sit back down, I'll focus.
Look at that. The camera behaved. Good job. That song, Don't Go Breaking My Heart, Elton John, Kiki D, was the number one record this day in 1976. All right. On this day in 1965, the top spot on the charts had been the Rolling Stones' I Can't Get No Satisfaction, good classic rock song. What kind of a song would knock it off the top spot? Well, Herman's Hermits would with this.
I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Henry the Eighth, I am.
Can you just imagine the Rolling Stones going, really? This is what knocked us off?
I'm not a music critic, and I know that everyone has their own style and choices. But, man, music really sucked back then sometimes.
Look at this. Melissa's dancing around to it, and you're saying it sucks.
Oh, my God.
It's such a fun, happy song.
See? Look at that.
Henry VIII was a horrible person, Melissa Kay.
Yes, perhaps, but this song is kind of fun.
Yeah, see? You're such a bad person. We have to make silly songs about you when you're dead so we can finally have some joy in our life. On this day in 1782, General George Washington ordered the creation of the Badge of Military Merit to honor soldiers wounded in battle, later renamed the Purple Heart. On this day in 1794, President George Washington invoked the Militia Act to suppress the Whiskey Rebellion in Western Pennsylvania. Such a difference between, you know, when you're the general that everybody loves and you go into politics and half the people hate you.
That's how it works.
It's just a perfect lesson right there. All right, I want to play two versions of the same song here. First, this song was on the charts twice in 1954. I'll get to the one that was popular this day in 1954 in a minute. But a few months earlier in the springtime, the Chords got as high as number 9 on the chart with this.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do, 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 shaboom. Life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above.
Isn't that nice? It's just so rich. You know, very
soulful,
very melodic, soulful. And then a couple of months later, they give it to four of the whitest looking guys from Canada you could imagine, the Crew Cuts, and this is their version.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, but this is like Eddie Murphy when he does the impressions in Beverly Hills Cop. You know, like, oh, did you put the banana in the tailpipe?
The only redeeming thing about this song is it reminds me of the movie Clue. So,
oh, I was going to say the Chords version reminds me of the movie Cars.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of when I sang this with four very white girls in Tama on stage in 2001 when we did the Tapitas.
I would like to hear that one.
Please
well,
let
we
there be a video.
We were surprised in 2011.
The late B.J. Thomas was born this day in 1942, 82 years ago. Had a couple of hits. There was the one with the really long title, Hey, Won't You Play Another Somebody Done Somebody Wrong Song, but also this one, which was made popular in a Hollywood classic.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
You can't help but just bop your head a little bit.
That was in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, where it really became popular. Actress Charlize Theron is 49 years old today.
Wow.
The number one song this day in 1971, so this was long before they became a disco hit, was from the Bee Gees.
Everyone, make like Robin Gibbs and put your fingers on your ears.
Now, this one more birthday here. Bruce Dickinson is 65 today, born from England, and took over as lead vocalist for Iron Maiden. And I got a question after this.
Oh, I'll answer it.
Okay.
God, so, I love Iron Maiden.
I forget, and I could have looked it up, but I didn't. In the infamous Cowbell episode of Saturday Night Live,
yeah,
Christopher Walken, is that the name of the character he plays, is Bruce Dickinson? Or is it something else?
Oh, that I do not know. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to ask me an Iron Maiden question. Okay.
Oh, yes. In fact, I do have an Iron Maiden question. I thought of that hearing this tune yesterday.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Iron Maiden and Metallica? Aren't they the same group?
Whoa! You got the death look.
As Hart
Drake
would sing, "If looks could kill, you'd be lying on the floor. You'd be begging me, please, please, baby, don't hurt me no more."
I don't.
That was a look. That was a look.
I
couldn't have sounded any more like a guy that just listens to yacht rock than in asking that question, could I?
His name was Gene. His name was. He plays. His name is Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah. It is Bruce Dickinson.
That's so weird.
Bruce Dickinson.
Oh, my goodness. See?
And Farrell was Gene Frankel.
I put my pants on one leg at a time, but every time I do it, I make gold records.
From Rob in Tigerton, good morning, Melissa, who does a very excellent job with her news coverage.
Oh, thank you, Rob.
Well, I think he was trying to say, not you're singing so much. He was saying your news coverage. No, I'm just kidding. I'm teasing.
You've never heard me sing, Pat.
I haven't. That's what I'm saying. I'd like to hear what you did with Shaboom or something else.
I sang Elso.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a melody.
All right. Today is National Lighthouse Day, National Raspberries and Cream Day. I thought that was a, shouldn't we do strawberries and cream? Anyway, National Purple Heart Day, when we thank and salute those who served. Melissa Kay, thank you so much. You can catch her on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Always a treat, mm-hmm. Melissa. Have a wonderful day.
1320 AM.
There you go. Gotta get that in.
I'll see you later.
Yes, you will. Big rally in Eau Claire coming up here. More from Up North News Radio after this. Is this Metallica?